So why don't you start, David, on just your main approach here?
Okay. Well, thanks. That's a great place to start because it revisits what I was saying about the Martian-ness of Genesis 6, the scenario of extraterrestrial life of some kind, not humankind, coming here and starting this strange breeding program with humanity. This immediately calls to mind the abductee phenomena today. And if you look really clearly at the Genesis 6 scenario, you'll find that it was what is called the sons of God that came down to Earth and saw the daughters of Adam. Now, that first sentence, the daughters of Adam, is a clue to the connection, because Adam actually means redness or red earth. And a lot of scholars would say that, well, that's because Adam, of course, inside of our body is red and we have blood, but so do all mammals do, fish do, birds, many different kind of animals do. So there really isn't any consistency with that idea. But modern Hebrew actually has a name for the planet Mars, Ma'adam, using the same exact word in the actual descriptive term of the planet. The next thing that comes to mind, though, is that out of the three major monotheistic religions, two of these religions, Islam and Judaism, actually contemplate that Eden itself wasn't on Earth, that Adam and Eve were actually created somewhere else in paradise and then brought to Earth. And I give the example for Islam. Surah 223 actually talks about the Garden of Eden existing in the fourth heaven.
Now, are you saying, David, that they were space travelers, or maybe genetically altered and dropped here? What were they? Who were they?
Well, this is the continuity here is this idea that Mars has something to do with this interaction in Genesis 6.
All right.
And actually, you have the name for mankind itself, the first man, connected in this etymological way. If you look at the name of the Watchers themselves, it's really interesting because there's some extra biblical books that have been written about them. Enoch is a really good example, the pseudepigraphic book of Enoch. He talks about them as shining, the shining ones. And he also calls them watchers. And you can find that idea of watcher and shining ones repeated over and over again in the earliest history of the most ancient civilizations we know. Sumer, for example, the builder gods that came and built their civilization, the founding gods of their culture, are called Eri. That means watcher also, and shining. The builder gods of Egypt are called Nit-Eru. The same root word is there as the suffix of that word, and it means the shining ones, literally. If you go get a good Latin lexicon and look up the word for to gleam or shine, you'll find the letters M-A-R, which is the root for Mars itself. And the word for watcher in Enoch, Eri, is actually transliterated directly into Greek as Arios, or Ares, which is the Greek version of Mars. So that link has been overlooked, and in some cases it has been absolutely comprehended, but covered up and veiled. In addition to that, you can actually find a word that sounds so close to the name of Mars in the Bible. It's only listed one time. It's listed in Judges 23, and it has to do with a place called Meroz that apparently was cursed by God. It's called the Song of Deborah, and she's singing this victory song after she had been witness to the destruction of an actual man from where Canaan was, a place that's north of Israel. He was destroyed by some sort of extraterrestrial intervention, a cataclysm that came from on high. And there is a curse that goes with this word Meroz. It's listed one time. The extra-biblical texts and actual written studies on the Torah and the Talmud have actually analyzed this word. They don't list any place in Israel for it or in Canaan for it, and they actually go so far as to say it's a place in heaven that's inhabited. And Eliyahu Horowitz in 1797, who wrote the Sefer HaBrit, which is the Book of the Covenant, actually had said it was a planet where these people or these beings exist. And what's even more provocative about the text in Judges in the Bible is that the curse goes along that they didn't fight with God against the armies of Sisera, who are against Israel, and they didn't fight against the Giborim, which is a word that's used in the Old Testament, which fits right into Genesis 6. It means giants. It was a word that was attached to the watchers. It was a word that was attached to these beings that came down. There's so many different points to the idea that Mars has had some influence over Earth at a distant time, and one of the most provocative, I think, is that the actual place that they came down was called, in the post-flood times, Cydonia. It was actually a Cydonia on Earth.
Yeah.
And so if you actually look at that critically, you can find that there's some big connections. The actual word that was used for watcher in the Bible, and also in the Book of Enoch, Ayer, is spelled exactly the same way as its use for city. These two words are almost perfectly identical. And I'm sure Michael has something to say about that. But the idea that building cities and these watchers are connected in such an integral way immediately calls to mind these ideas that there may be physical structures on Mars, artificial structures that are built there. And
go ahead, David. Finish that up.
Yeah, so if you ask the question, did watchers build cities, then absolutely the ancient texts say they do. Etymologically, the connection is there. And you have to actually look at the old text and not reinvent the wheel to analyze these things, because there really isn't a lack of information about this.
All right, Richard, because you have talked about Cydonia before, let's get your take on what David just said.
Well, you know, what's so really affirming is to have someone who comes from the biblical and Christian tradition basically follow in your footsteps and find all kinds of other really cool support for things that you suspected but didn't have the background or the time to look into some 20 years ago. I mean, when I started looking at these objects on Mars and these NASA images and coming to the realization after I set up the independent Mars investigation team and then the other teams with colleagues and peers, that we were really looking at real things. Somebody had built this stuff. And, of course, the central effigy, the central icon, is a mile-long, 1,500-foot-high humanoid face. It just, you know, screamed out there's possibly a connection to Earth. And I actually, in my book, The Monuments of Mars, I call that chapter The Possible Terrestrial Connection. Well, I am just tickled to death that David has done the scholarship and the homework and has found extraordinary evidence, which he's laid out both in his own presentation at Wisconsin as well as in his own book,